아래 나면서 아들이 안주기 참되기 되니기 주시 지레데 이내라 지게 내엠디 겐지네 안직 도치네 고합지 마중거리 이내 나면서 가르레스네 다자야 야고여 인자 나면서 마자야타 마슈샤 시샤베네 안 소소라기 안지냠는 제야야 안지게 아 가소리 내내 고합 야고샤고레 예자 나면서 무엇을 좀 전에 드니기 좀 마중 보이네. 제가 강제로 소속이 냠는 지혜를 고급도 쇼고 말하고 다 야구라고 그래서.
Good morning. This morning we starting our retreat, and it's not in the environment we usually would prefer, which would be to gather all together in a secluded place such as our Atisha Center. But nevertheless, we are fortunate to live in a time and to live in a country where it's possible through our excellent internet connection to still be able to gather remotely together and to across, maybe we could say time and space, to still meet. And so we were recording this a few days earlier, but now you are at home, hopefully in a quiet environment as well, and it certainly will be a comfortable environment. And therefore, we can consider ourselves truly fortunate that despite the difficult conditions, we are still able to receive teachings and have time to reflect on their meaning. In this retreat, we're going to be looking at the text by the great Tibetan Lama, Lama Tsongkhapa Che Rinpoche. He's the founder Lama of the Gelug tradition and highly revered across all Tibetan schools. And the particular text we're going to be meditating on is the three principal aspects of the path. All of us, all beings, long to experience only lasting, stable happiness that's not punctuated by a moment of pain or misery. So how to do so? Well, when the suffering that regularly befalls us, those causes need to be recognized and eliminated. And together with that, the causes that lead to lasting, stable happiness need to be recognized and accumulated. The happiness we've experienced thus far, across lifetimes, is brief and fleeting. Hence, our wish for lasting happiness has never been achieved. Here, in this text, presents the unmistaken technique to achieve lasting, stable happiness through engaging in the three principal aspects of the path to lasting happiness. The term suffering, as well as happiness, we should understand in a vast way, from slight to intense. So all the suffering we experience, whether it's slight unease, up to intense pain and misery, all of this comes about independent on causes. Suffering is a result. All forms of suffering, slight to intense, is a result that has come about independent on specific causes. So too with happiness, whether it's from a slight sensation of pleasure up to intense bliss. This all comes about independent on causes. There's no happiness or suffering that is experienced, that ever has been or will be, that is not dependent on causes. Recognizing that, then it's clear that what we need to do in order to attain freedom from suffering and experience lasting happiness is we need to eliminate the causes that will lead to suffering, and we need to accumulate the causes that lead to happiness. The causes that lead to suffering we need to recognize, not accumulate further new causes and eliminate previously accumulated causes. Similarly with happiness, we need to recognize the causes for happiness and accumulate those. So therefore, whilst we have as a goal the attainment of a state of lasting, stable happiness, our focus needs to be on the accumulation of causes that will lead to happiness and the elimination of causes that will impede the attainment of happiness. In other words, the causes that lead to suffering. So therefore, our focus needs to be on the accumulation of causes for happiness and the elimination of causes that will otherwise lead to suffering, and do this in the context of the desired result, the attainment of freedom.
Ana digi yong dunga yong yegi gudi na gawa yore sejna digi yong yegi gudi gawa yore sejna zu da da ji gudi ki fa zhe shi le da wei na da han zu dunga yong yegi gudi ji dang qi zhong wo chu bi ji ne ane ji ge dunga ji yong guo de yu gu qi jian ji ne qi jian ji ne yong guo le yin na zuo de han zu nang sem dian de yue de ba qia guo le ju dunga yong yegi gu zuo de gawa yore sheng zu sem ge dian de yue le se ji na dunga yong yegi gudi 치견중원초발로서바
Where does one find the causes for happiness and the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering? We can look in two areas. The one is the outer or the material world, and there certainly are an abundance of causes there that lead to the experience of happiness or suffering. But the primary area to focus isn't on the external or the material world, but on the inner world, the mental world. And this is because our primary, the sole way that we experience suffering and happiness is mental. It's a feeling, we experience it mentally. So whether the contributing causes are outer or inner, the experience is always inner. Moreover, it's through focusing on the inner world, the mental world, that is how the accumulation of those causes lead to attainment of actual lasting happiness, in that it's through the transformation of our way of thinking that happiness is attained and suffering is eliminated. So in brief, Whilst outer causes are required for happiness and to eliminate suffering, the primary causes to focus on are our inner, the development of our way of thinking. Furthermore, practice is internal. And practice, or literally gaining experience, is internal. Hence, we need to focus on accumulating inner causes for happiness. And this is done through transforming our way of thinking. And the way to transform our way of thinking is through meditation, what we're engaging in this retreat. And in particular, meditation based on knowledge, where through the accumulation of knowledge and integration of that knowledge through meditation, we accumulate the causes for happiness and we learn to avoid or eliminate the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. It's through meditation based on knowledge that we create the causes for happiness. We transform our way of thinking. With the result of attaining the state of lasting stable happiness, there are many stages in which one trains one's mind in order to attain that goal. So these are the graduated stages to enlightenment, of which there are many. But if we summarize them, there are three principal aspects of the path that lead to the attainment of enlightenment. So those three principal aspects of the entire path are definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the correct view. The text starts with the title, the three principal aspects of the path, and then Jerubshe's first line of composition is a homage. I bow down to the holy lamas. So here he's offering homage or salutation to all his lamas, and encourages us to do the same for the same reason that he's doing it, to accumulate merit in his case so as to aid the composition of this text and to eliminate obstacles to the composition of the text. And likewise for ourselves, to accumulate merit and overcome obstacles for the integration of this text, we start with offering homage to our holy lamas.
So that ane ganis cha cha wari labna an deli tisum gi lama nam gi la yidam da lama da sa yo ngo yer mi be rang gi rang la ya lam gi nam ba sha ju gi lama ti gi ku song thu gi yuen de jhen ba da ane ku yuen de de la de ba zi ji tu tu che ya da ane ku song thu la mi nam gi so so ya ane ji ge che song ji de ne ge jin che su che bi gu ba de lu ma yu sum yo ko ne ane de ba da
그 object that Lama Tsongkhapa is offering homage to are the holy lamas, but we understand this in a broader context. We understand that he's offering homage to the Buddha and all Buddhas, as well as his meditational deity and then his lamas. We understand it in this way because the Buddha, meditational deities, and the lamas are indivisible in essence. They are indivisible in essence. So therefore, by holding all three groups in mind, when one offers to homage just to one, one is offering to all three when one recognizes their essence. They are indivisible in essence. And in order to be able to actually offer homage, offering homage is primarily a mental attitude. So this comes about through recalling the tremendous qualities of one's lamas, body, speech, and mind, as well as the Buddha. And in addition to that, to recalling their great kindness, the great kindness that they have shown one and all sentient beings. And in this way, one generates a faith of trust in them, a faith of trust or conviction in them, that they are unmistaken, perfect guides. And with such an attitude that has come about independence on recalling their good qualities of body, speech, and mind, as well as their tremendous kindness, faith or conviction in their qualities arises, in their ability to be an unmistaken guide arises, and then with such an attitude, one bows down to one's holy lamas.
And in my that in a chassis to it, Jenna, Nangarjeris, that a lamzonum sum de ma sungi incident yat, and my shigi incident yat damjawa, samjawasi ore. Then ma gave you sundup kunji, ingue to her. Jesse tabanam king abbe lam, guiding tardunum to Jumoje, Jitter Nushin, Taki Shepherd Shahas, Jesa, Lamuzo, number sumji, that shigi incident got some part damjas.
In the first verse, Jay Rinpoche is making a promise to compose this text. He's making a commitment that he will start and complete this text to the best of his abilities. So the first verse, the essence of the meaning of all the conqueror's teachings, the path acclaimed by supreme bodhisattvas, the gateway for the fortunate aspiring for liberation, this I will try to explain to the best of my ability. What is it precisely that Jay Rinpoche is promising to do? He's promising to the best of his ability to compose a brief text with very few words that nevertheless contain the entire graduated path to enlightenment, but in a brief form, a concise form. And he's condensing all these trainings into the three principal trainings, that students need to train their mind in. And he's composing this with the purpose or the objective of giving a brief but unmistaken guide to sentient beings to use as a basis to train their minds, to transform their way of thinking, and thereby accumulate causes for happiness and abandon causes that will otherwise lead to suffering, and attain the exalted state, the final goal of Buddhahood. So that's the promise and the purpose of the promise that J. Rinpoche is making here in the first verse.
That gave you Sura Kuni Nibos and Jawa said it, Tumasan Yachim Nindia. Tisan Tumasan Yachim Nindigi, Nduji, come down, Mabad, Timbiki, Chu, Mazidota, Nahishum, then they could check catching a shoe soon or Asia. Tisan gave you Sura Kuni City, Sura City, gave you Sura City, Sanji Chim Nindigi, Duji, come down, Mabad, Timbi, Simjan, Dunghale, Treasure, Sanji Koba, Tibish, Tablum, Bob Mabad, Sungbi, Sungbi, or Asia, Sungbi, Sura.
Look at the first line, the essence of the meaning of all the conqueror's teachings. Buddha Shakyamuni taught a vast number of scriptures, and the meaning of these scriptures is extensive and profound. Here, he's going to take this extensive and profound meaning and draw out the very essence. The very essence of these extensive scriptures that Buddha Shakyamuni taught.
Chisada San Yigi, Che Pato Meba, Sumbadi, and the Karjina Sungorasin, Duja Semjan Lia, Digi Jubiata, and the Dumase Dunda, Sungora, Chisada San Yi, Sumbu, Sungraji, Ma Dunda Delma, and Nera Setelia, Digi Yata, Dumase Tavlam, and Sungore, and the Dimaze Kiawa Chiman al Hada Miyukoban Toyagi, and the Diki to Tuyagi, Din Chabatan Tubiagi, Tablam, and the Major Koyo Duma Tada Literature, Tarba Toyagi, Tablam, Duenda de la Sanji Surab Diki, Yamlin Chabalet, and Dunda Nimbo, Dunda Karimosan, Cedelia Diki Yoya, and Dimaze Kiawa Chimana Diki Yoya, and Dimaze Dingi, and the Tarba Toyo, Koyo Duma Tada Literature, Tarbiokoban Toya, and the Dine. And it goes for it. And this is my same time. It goes for it. You more bacha than Jeba Banjin, Sanji Kovatovia. Just a Sanji, soon be Sanji, Chu, soon be Sunga, soon be Danda, Juvia Delia, Gargors, and Odusine, Digi Juviaki, and Dusine, Sungores. Just a Ningbu to answer, Sunra Kuni, Ningbu to answer, to end the nature. Dinan, a Ningbo, the Dinan, the Zo, that Ningbo Zo, 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 Mu, Zo, the Carson. Sanji Goma de Reser, Nibu Dinsit, Chisan, Sanji, Chu, Sumba, Semjan, Duma, the Tribe, Chido, Digi, Juya, Dela, Cedda, Kiwa Chimada, Tarba, Tamji Kibu, Tobago, Dunda, Ditobago, Dundala, Sanji Chusumare. Then you get Topja, then you toy, Dina, the Yuzo, Ningbo, the Garela, Sanji Goma, Reser, Nesson, Ningbu, Dinsit, Odusin, Sonchu, Shuore, Javar.
The purpose for all teachings that the Buddha gave was to present the complete and unmistaken technique or path that sentient beings need to cultivate within themselves in order to eliminate suffering and its causes and achieve the causes and the result that is the state of lasting stable happiness. And this is in accordance with the deep felt wish of all beings, which is to experience only lasting stable happiness. So therefore, Buddha Shakyamuni gave these extensive teachings. Some were presented to help beings achieve happiness in this life. Many more were presented so as to teach beings how to achieve a good rebirth so as not to fall into the lower realms. Moreover, the majority of Buddha's teachings were presented so as how to achieve the lasting stable happiness of either liberation or enlightenment. And in order to achieve liberation and enlightenment, Buddha taught the cause, the root cause of all our suffering, as well as how to eliminate this. In other words, one needs to abandon the afflictions together with their seeds. That has to be done in order to achieve the lasting, stable happiness of liberation and enlightenment. So when you look at the first line, this term meaning can also be translated as purpose. So if we think of the essence of the purpose or the can also be translated as the heart of the purpose of all the conqueror's teachings, that is to attain Buddhahood. So Buddha Shakyamuni, the conqueror, taught all the teachings he did, even if they had temporary goals of happiness in this life, or a good rebirth, or even liberation. They were all taught so as to guide beings in accordance with their own particular personalities to eventually achieve the final goal of enlightenment. And that is the essence of the meaning of all the conqueror's teachings. The essence of the purpose, or the meaning of all the conqueror's teachings, is that he taught so that beings can fulfill their yearning for lasting happiness. And he taught the methods to achieve that. And these methods lead to a good rebirth, through continued training of the mind, will lead to even liberation, and through further purification of the mind and development of good qualities, enlightenment itself. So therefore, the alternative translation, the heart of the purpose, or the heart of the meaning of the conqueror's teachings, is the achievement of enlightenment. That is his heartfelt objective, or the essence of the meaning of the Buddha's teachings. The second way that one understands the essence of the meaning of all the conqueror's teachings is that we've understood in the first way that the primary purpose or meaning was the achievement of enlightenment for all sentient beings. The second meaning is that we can say the essence of the meaning is the essence of the path, that all the variety of stages, that the sequential stages that Buddha Shakyamuni taught, that lead to either a good rebirth, or through cultivating the path ever deeper within oneself, liberation, or deeper still, enlightenment. These are condensed here into three principal aspects of the path, of the mental paths that need to be cultivated. Because it's through cultivating these three principal aspects of the path that one will achieve lasting happiness. Without achieving these, it's not possible to achieve lasting happiness. So this then is the second meaning of the expression, essence of the meaning, or here we can say the heart of the path of all the conqueror's teachings are these three principal aspects.
Top Top
Reflecting then on the meaning here of the first line, we understand that it includes that the essence of the meaning of the conqueror's teachings is to guide all beings in accordance with their own unique personalities to achieve Buddhahood. The second meaning of this expression, essence of the meaning, can maybe express as the heart of the path of all the conqueror's teachings, is condensed into these three principal aspects. So this is the trainings or the method to achieve the goal. So the final goal, the essence of the meaning of all the teachings, is Buddhahood. The second meaning, the essence of the meaning, is the essence of all, or the heart of all the trainings, to achieve that goal. And they are condensed into the three principal aspects, and that is what we're going to be looking at here in this text, the method to transform our mind so as to achieve the goal. As I mentioned earlier, the three principal aspects of the path that we need to cultivate, the mental path we need to cultivate, are definite emergence, or more commonly translated as renunciation. Secondly, bodhicitta. And thirdly, correct view. What then is the meaning of definite emergence? In order to cultivate the mind of definite emergence, one reflects on the sufferings of samsara. So we can think about the sufferings that we experience and observe in our world. The sufferings that beings experience now from the pandemic, and we know there is a broad range of suffering there, both mental and physical. Suffering in terms of illness in the world, sufferings from violence, from both the perspective of the perpetrator and the victim, whether it's violence between nations, between peoples, or between individuals, whether the violence is physical or mental or verbal or merely mental, in other words, only held in one's mind. This all leads to suffering. Then there's suffering on subtler levels, the suffering of meeting unwanted conditions, the suffering of not getting what we desire, the suffering of losing what we value. So through thinking about sufferings that we observe around us, and then taking that to a deeper level of recognizing that each and every one comes about in dependence on causes. None of them happen without causes. We will want to abandon those causes, but we need to recognize them first. And while some causes are observable, there are deeper causes. And the deeper causes are all internal. Their ways of thinking, their afflicted minds, in the sense that through their arisal, our consciousness, our mind becomes afflicted or disturbed. And at the very root, when we reflect at an ever deeper level, we see there is one root cause from which all suffering comes, and that's the ignorance of self-grasping. So when one recognizes that, and recognizes it not merely on an intellectual level through hearing teachings, but through repeatedly meditating, and thereby transforming one's understanding so that it's on a personal, intuitive level, one will recognize that as long as one remains bound by the afflictions in samsara, one will never experience lasting happiness. And what binds us are these afflictions, and in particular, the ignorance of self-grasping. When one recognizes that, a strong burning desire to emerge from the suffering realms of samsara will arise within oneself, a determination to abandon this wheel of suffering, to gain freedom from this wheel of suffering. And with this, a definite conviction to emerge from the sufferings of samsara, one generates definite emergence or renunciation. So this is the initial meditation, the starting point, the first of the principal aspects that we need to train our minds in. As I've mentioned, the purpose of Buddhist practice is to transform our mind, focusing on the internal. The purpose of practice is to transform our mind. And this takes time, but primarily within that time, we need to repeatedly engage in the same meditations. Because what we are trying to do is develop new habitual ways of thinking and thereby weaken harmful, old, our past habitual ways of thinking. So we know from our own experience that to develop habits takes repetition and it takes time. And that is what meditation does. Meditation is a technique to transform old habits into new habits. And the literal translation of the term meditation is equally habituation or familiarization. So this shows we are trying to develop new habits or become familiar with new ways of thinking. That is the meaning of the word meditation, and that is the purpose of meditation. I'll bring an illustration of how this the attainment of happiness comes about through meditation. Now, for certainly in our state of Victoria, we've been in lockdown for a very long time, especially those of you in Melbourne. It's well over 200 days over this year and a half. And there are many people who are feeling unhappiness at these restrictions. They've gone on for a long time. Their freedoms and individual choices are restricted. And it's going against many individuals' particular desires. So some people are frustrated at the government. Anger has arisen within them. Frustration, annoyance, and this is often expressed. They are suffering. They are unhappy. And this suffering is experienced mentally, and it's to do with an outer situation. And they are suffering because of how they are thinking about this outer situation. So it's not in our hands to change this outer situation by ourselves, but it is within our hands to change how we relate to it. So, for example, looking at the situation from another perspective, recognizing that the government is making these decisions motivated to protect those that they have a responsibility for. Here, we're not engaging in a debate in the validity of their decisions, but rather looking at their attitude. Their attitude is wanting to benefit and to protect those that they have a responsibility to protect. And then we ourselves have a part to play in this. We have a part to play in protecting our loved ones and protecting strangers too, society in general. And thereby, by undergoing this hardship of staying within our home, of wearing a mask, of socially distancing, by undergoing these hardships, we are benefiting others. We are benefiting others. Now, thinking like this, suddenly we can relate to the government in a different way, and we can relate to our lack of freedoms in a completely different way too. So here, we have transformed our attitude. The outer world, this hasn't changed at all. The rules are still there, the restrictions are still there. But through transforming our attitude, through changing our way of thinking, we are no longer suffering. We are no longer suffering. So this is how meditation works. We transform our way of thinking, and in this way, we bring about happiness and eliminate suffering. Brief, the meaning of definite emergence is a mental attitude that is determined to abandon samsara and attain liberation. The determination, so this word definite has the meaning of being definite or certain, so it has this conviction to it, to emerge from the suffering realms of samsara into the state of liberation. So that is the meaning of definite emergence. Bodhicitta is the second of the three principal aspects, and the third is correct view. The meaning of correct view is realizing the emptiness of true existence. or cultivating the wisdom, realizing the emptiness of true existence. And through training in these three aspects of the path, definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the wisdom realizing emptiness, the correct view, enlightenment will be achieved. Without training in these three, Buddhahood is not possible. And this then is the meaning in the first line, the essence of the meaning of all the Conqueror's teachings, both in terms of the path as well as the goal. The second line, the path acclaimed by supreme bodhisattvas. The path then, as we've heard, is the trainings that of the Buddha's teachings that lead to happiness. As a side effect, through training in the paths of that the Buddha has taught, happiness is achieved in this life. But moreover, one accumulates causes that will ensure a good rebirth in our future lives, as well as accumulating causes that will lead to the attainment of liberation from suffering, or nirvana, as well as enlightenment. And this, the attainment of these goals, is something that all beings need to achieve. No being wants to fall into the lower realms. All there are desperate to gain a better rebirth. Moreover, liberation and enlightenment, the state of lasting happiness, is the desired wish of all beings. Even if they do not know of liberation and enlightenment, the state of lasting happiness that their attainment results in, that is the desire of all beings. And amongst those who are striving to achieve these supreme goals, supreme amongst them are the bodhisattvas. Well, the Tibetan is literally the conqueror's children, which is a more poetic way of stating bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas are those who've generated bodhicitta in their continuum, bodhicitta being the determination to become a Buddha, not for one's own sake, but for the sake of all sentient beings without exception. A bodhisattva wants to become the most skilled of guides so as to skillfully guide each and every sentient being to the attainment of the state of lasting happiness of liberation or enlightenment. That is the objective of all bodhisattvas, and therefore they are considered supreme amongst the practitioners of the Buddha Dharma. Other practitioners, hearers and solitary realizers, they are also striving to achieve the goals of the Dharma, but they're striving to achieve their own liberation from suffering. Whereas bodhisattvas are striving for Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. And for that reason, bodhisattvas are considered supreme amongst Buddhist practitioners.
Chikko shimjuu chee chee kar haa wukur sene. Chizan shengi duyen chubya, shengi le pan juru, shengi digi chubya tang, shengi dunga seya ya, ane
A bodhisattva is a being becomes a bodhisattva through the generation of bodhicitta, and bodhicitta is the determination to become a Buddha oneself, but in order to help others, to be the most skillful guide possible through being a faultless being, in order to lead all other beings to achieve the lasting state of happiness, to lead all beings in how to develop all good qualities within themselves and abandon all faults that will otherwise lead to suffering. The being with such a determination has generated bodhicitta and is a bodhisattva. In order to generate bodhicitta, definite emergence has to first be generated. Without first generating definite emergence, love and compassion cannot be generated. Without love and compassion, bodhicitta cannot be generated. So therefore, those who aspire to become bodhisattvas train first in definite emergence. And they will do so with the final goal of Buddhahood in mind. And in order to achieve that, they will be now training in definite emergence so as to later generate bodhicitta and cultivate the correct view. Because they have understood that in order to become a Buddha for the sake of others, all three principal aspects have to be cultivated within their continuum. And that is how all bodhisattvas in the world are training. All Buddhas have trained. All have, and thereby they acclaim this technique of cultivating definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the correct view. These three principal aspects of all the stages of training to lead to enlightenment are supreme and therefore are acclaimed by bodhisattvas.
Jungo
Third line, the gateway for the fortunate aspiring for liberation. The fortunate refer to those who have all the causes and conditions required to be able to develop the three principal aspects. Those are the fortunate. They have precious human rebirth, an interest in the Buddha Dharma, they've met a qualified teacher, and the Mahayana Dharma itself. So such people are fortunate because they can use this life in the most supreme of ways to develop the three principal aspects within their own continuum. And the gateway for those who are fortunate, the gateway to the achievement of liberation from suffering, are these three principal aspects. Correct view, definite emergence, bodhicitta, and correct view. So those who are fortunate are those who have all the causes and conditions required to pass through this gateway, in other words, to develop the three principal aspects within themselves, and thereby achieve liberation.
Tobiagi Dondala, Lam Yamlinchi, Zodi, Lam Yam Karin Yamlinchi, and Tokugris, and Ajun Jansum Yanta, but Taosum Bodin Yamlinchi, and Tokugris, Sanje Kopan Toyala, and Dinamlinchi, Uriese, Jixia. The Nigging Ajun Jasan Yanta, but Taosum Bodin, Jesse, and Jusen Banam Jan, Dinam, the Koron, the Dinamlinchi, the Bear, Yahuris, and the Dile Lapa, Sanje Kopan Toyala, and Yamlinchi, Dile Lapa, Mindu Sine, not what you were, yes, then not what you are, Ajun Jansum Taosum, not what you were.
The final line in this first verse. This I will try to explain to the best of my ability. What Jayam Pache is going to be explaining here, firstly, is within the context of the essence of the meaning, in terms of achieving the final goal of Buddhahood. That is the goal, the purpose of this text. So the term we have in the first line, meaning, can be translated as meaning, as goal, or as purpose. So we can understand all three meanings here. So with this final goal of Buddhahood, Jayam Rinpoche is going to compose this text. And this text is based not only on the teachings of the Buddha, but it's in accordance with the experience of the supreme supreme students of the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas. Because Bodhisattvas are training in this way. They are cultivating these three principal aspects within their own continuum. So here, this teaching is not just in accordance with the text of the Buddha, but is also in accordance with the experience of Bodhisattvas who are putting this into practice right now. And this method that is going to be, or technique that's going to be presented in this text, is for those people counted amongst the fortunate. Those who have acquired all the causes and conditions required to cultivate these good qualities in their own mind. In other words, it's for this text is being composed for those who have the capacity to develop, to generate definite emergence, bodhicitta, and correct view within their own continuum. And then in the final line, Jay Rinpoche is going to compose this text in accordance with his experience in a manner that is unmistaken and complete, thereby ensuring that that final objective, that goal of Buddhahood, can be achieved based on what is presented here. What's not explicitly stated in the fourth line, but is included in the meaning, is Lama Tsongkhapa's motivation. Why is he going to explain this to the best of his ability? To give the unmistaken technique for sentient beings to adopt and cultivate within themselves and achieve freedom from pain and misery, the state of lasting happiness of Buddhahood. That is his motivation, and that is included in the fourth line. Jay Rinpoche would have felt the need to express this because there will be those who don't know his tremendous qualities, and so they may well have doubts whether he is really knowledgeable enough to compose the Dharma text, whether he's experienced enough to compose a Dharma text. So he's writing here, making the point that his intention is not his own reputation or gain, but rather for the sake of others, to give others the knowledge required, that independent on that knowledge, they can integrate it within themselves through meditation, and they can achieve, firstly, the state of a supreme bodhisattva, and thereafter, Buddhahood itself. So that is the motivation of Lama Tsongkhapa, and he's making that clear here in the first verse.
타바 Nyomoba Sabana Jeb Basha the Jeb Bantu Mares. Tina Dininza, Nyomoba Basha the Jeb Bambala, don't you to be shared to go Mores. Tina Dininza, Yanta Tawa, don't you to be shared to go more, Kim Sentit, Yanta Tawa, this is Kokores. Nandi, Sanyo Gobantobala, and Ever the Dikores, Janjo Sim Yukunia, Lan, and the Dinne, Yanta Tawa, Gomne, and the person looking Yamlin, Sanyo Gobantop to worry. Tina Dinigi, Janjo Sim Yukunia, Janjo Sim Yawa Kiawala, and a Garu Wilson. You, Janusim, you, Ninji, Jam Ninja Majibana, Semja Tamjigi, Semja Jam Ninja Majibana, Semja Tamji Duna said that you do give somebody Marwa, Janusim Kumtu Mare. She's on Semja Tamjila, Duna Jamji Ninji, Jam Ninji Kuores. She's on Janusim Jabala, Jam Ninji Kuores. She's on Jam Semja Namjela, Jam Ninji Jabala, Karkuos and Koyu Duna let Jadu, some of Dambo Susitiendo, some Tanja Koyu Duna Jadu, somebody Yapo Dama to win, Semja Tamji Duna the Jadu, some of the Yapo Kitu Mare, Dinza, Jamiji Kiawala, Wondo, Karkuos and Koyu Duna, some Dan Koyu Duna let Tardu, some Yaju, some Kiwores, Dambo Susitiendo, Dusin, some Tan Kine, Dinner, Semja Tamji, the Miba Puishin, to come at Jamiji Kiedi, and Dumde Lila, Lilo Chatu, Cassan, Susitino Koyu Duna, Nisu Sabo, Hakobina. で、なんだ、先生、ちぐちゃんのちぐわれ、ちだらんが、ちゅばでちぐわれ、ちゃわめれ、ちで、先生、先生、ちゅどんが、ちゃこど、せびぎ、にじで、こべ、ちやれ、れらあんこです。れらはどんちゃいんこ。で、ね、ねじゅんでまちばいな、先生や、こういう、かそれ、ちゅやれ、かれかわ、てんざだ、ねじゅんこんこごですやで、なんどうしてね。だ、らんぎてんど、さんたばね、ねじゅんちゃらん、こういうどんが、じょうぐつめ、ねじゅんちゃ。せん、だ、でみばで、らんぱ、みぶ、かぷやじ、せんじゃんどんな、せんじゃん、たんちゅ、こういうどんが、じょうぐつめ、さんたいで、にじちゃそれ。じゃだ、でにぎ、にじみじ、てこごれ、てねえざ、ねじゅんちゃんすみゃんとべ、たわ ね、あの、自分がと同伴にさんたいで、なし、まあ、そりゃ、中間にしなわな、なわなし、まあ、そりゃ、ランゴムに注意して、さ、わけね、目あ、せんべい、どうしてね、まあ、自分がさんたいで、だが、ロフロロチ、ドルドルしさんたいで、てりんげしやで、どうしてね、まあ、さんたね、やごろわ。
There are many trainings that one engages in to become enlightened. There are many stages to the path to achieve enlightenment. One that we would have heard of many times are the six perfections of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. So these need to be trained in order to achieve enlightenment. What makes them a perfection, though, is the presence of bodhicitta. If bodhicitta is absent, then it's merely training in generosity, ethics, and so forth. When that same practice is done, conjoined with bodhicitta, it becomes a transcendent perfection. So this term perfection, more fully, is translated as transcendent perfection, and being a transcendent perfection, it leads to transcending the ordinary realms and to the transcendent, leading to the attainment of the transcendent state of enlightenment. So again, to make these practices of generosity, etc., transcendent perfections, and thereby have the potential to lead one to transcend the ordinary realms and attain the state of enlightenment, They need to be conjoined with bodhicitta. But bodhicitta alone will not lead to the attainment of enlightenment. That too needs to be conjoined with the wisdom realizing emptiness, or the correct view. Because it's only the wisdom realizing emptiness that can eradicate the afflictions together with their seeds. And when the wisdom realizing emptiness is conjoined with bodhicitta, it has the strength to also eliminate the imprints of the afflictions and lead to the attainment of Buddhahood. Hence, within the three principal aspects of the path, which have as their goal the attainment of enlightenment, there is bodhicitta and the correct view. In order to generate bodhicitta, one first needs to meditate on love and compassion, generating great love, great compassion, into the point where one commits to becoming a Buddha for the sake of others and generates bodhicitta. But in order to give rise to love and compassion, actual love and compassion, one needs to have successfully already meditated on the sufferings of samsara. And to bring about, and for that meditation to have the sufficient transformative effect that it can lead, or it will lead to the generation of actual love and compassion, one needs to meditate on the sufferings of samsara in relation to oneself, one's own experience, and what may well befall one. So therefore, one starts with the cultivation of the mind of definite emergence, this commitment, this certainty, this a mind that is definite about the need to arise from the suffering realms of samsara and attain liberation. That is the starting point. Independent on that meditation, one moves one's focus from oneself and one's own need to arise from suffering to the state or the situation of others, recognizing that all other beings and myself are on a fundamental level no different. And at this point in the meditation, one looks at the equality of beings, just recognizing that we are the same in our wish for happiness. We are the same in our wish to be freed of all levels of pain and misery. Not only that, but the method to achieve a state of happiness is identical, because the causes for suffering and the causes of happiness are common to all. So really there's no difference between myself and others. I am suffering for the same reason that others are. I long for happiness in the same way, to the same intensity that others do too. There is no difference between us. Therefore, the same energy that I am putting into my attainment of liberation from suffering, I actually need to do this for them too, because there is no difference between us. So in this way, we transcend from a focus that is primarily on ourselves to a focus that's primarily on others. Our trainings are similar, but our focus is what completely transforms. Here now, we commit to training in the path so that we can become a Buddha in order to be the most skilled of guides, to lead beings in the accumulation of causes for happiness and the elimination of causes that would otherwise lead to suffering. This is the generation of bodhicitta, and it can only come about through the prior cultivation of definite emergence. And then when this is combined with the wisdom realizing emptiness, those are the three principal aspects, and in dependence on these, which are the essence or the heart of the trainings of the Buddha's teachings, we achieve the essence or the heart of the meaning, the purpose of the Buddha Dharma, Buddhahood itself. So that in brief is what we've looked at this morning in our first session, and what we will continue to look at in detail over the coming sessions, with the next one being this afternoon. So thank you very much. We'll conclude there. Thank you.